Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's going to be hard to get people to do multiple things if they're used to doing individual things in different seasons.
Let's go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. When you're looking for information about not just college basketball, college sports, or just great thought-provoking information about sports, period, I don't think there's anybody above Jay on the list. He's Jay Billis from ESPN, the former Duke Blue Devil. Hello, Jay. Thank you for being with us again.
Thank you for having me. How you guys doing?
We're doing well, Jay. We're trying to figure out what's going on in college sports, and I don't think anybody can figure that out right now. What was your reaction, first of all, when the Big Ten, the Pac-12 said, we're done. We're done with fall sports.
Well, I wasn't surprised, and I respect the decision. I think one of the issues is it's not a question of whether the Big Ten or the Pac-12 is right or wrong. The biggest issue, I think, is the overall leadership in college sports, that we are dealing with issues that I think are a public trust. And each one of these conferences and the NCAA office have their own expert board of medical advisors. They're all falling all over themselves, telling us all the scientific help they're getting from all the infectious disease experts on their campuses and otherwise. And yet they don't seem to be sharing that information with one another, and they're certainly not sharing it with the public. And I think that they have fallen down there, that there's a lack of coordination as far as information is concerned. And, there was an infectious disease expert this morning on a conference call that said, essentially is Dr. Del Rio saying, we're on the Titanic now and we're arguing over what time the band should play. And that's pretty heady stuff. And it was said on a conference call. Well, he's on the NCAA's board of advisors that's advising, Mark Emmert, his board of governors. And I think, though, that information should be shared publicly, not just on some conference call that, is reported via Twitter. And in order for the players, their families, and all the employees that are involved in college sports to be able to make informed decisions as to whether they participate, whether we go forward, all this information needs to be disclosed, and it needs to be public, and it needs to be coordinated among the conferences in the NCAA office. And I'll give you one example, and then I'll shut up. If the medical experts are telling the NCAA, we don't think it's responsible to go forward, play football and or basketball or fall sports, whatever it may be, and the NCAA feels like, according to their structure, they cannot tell the conferences what to do, well, that's fine. They may not have the authority to stop the conferences from going forward, but what they can do is step up and say, here are our medical experts, here's our reasoning, and we do not consider it appropriate to move forward. That's what leadership looks like, and we are seeing a void of leadership in the college sports space.
Jay, I'm just curious, especially from your perspective on this, I'm just wondering how much is legal ramifications also driving the bus on this too? Because as well as I do, you'll hear, oh, well, the alumni at this school really want to make sure this happens, and there's money on the line here, and our businesses aren't going to make. And then all of a sudden, you've got schools that have got to say, we've got to look out for the best interests of the kids. And how much does the lawyer who's sitting next to the president of a school, how much power does that person have?
Well, I don't know the exact answer to that, but liability is certainly a consideration. But I don't see a difference. I mean, I know the NCAA, and by that I mean the member institutions, all the conferences as members of the NCAA. I know they like to say when they make a decision, now remember, these are amateurs, as if somehow they would put the health and welfare professionals at risk. That's simply not true. And, they're not letting their employees come into their offices without strict protocols, and they're paid professionals. So the idea that we would make a different judgment with regard to whether one is paid or not, I think, is an absurd line to draw. This is about people, and it's about responsible behavior to limit the spread of the virus. There are all sorts of considerations. Liability is certainly a piece. As it is, liability is a piece with bringing students back to campus. Now, those are two very different things. You can't compare those and say, okay, if students are on campus, therefore it's okay to play. That's different. But liability is certainly a piece, but I don't think liability is driving this. I think the responsible thing to do for health and welfare, not only of the players and staff and all that, coaches, et cetera, but also the responsible thing to do as a global citizen in this. You certainly don't want to contribute to the spread of this by going forward. But just for an example, like in the last 2 weeks, the issue of heart damage, myocarditis has been raised, and there seems to be reasonable disagreement among medical experts that, well, that we don't know enough, therefore we shouldn't go forward. And others say, no, we can deal with this with proper heart screening if there is a COVID-19 positive, things like that. Those are all discussions that are over all of our heads if we don't have medical training. But those are things that should be discussed publicly. Like, these are all publicly funded institutions, whether they're private or public. They take public money, and that's a public trust. And the NCAA and all the members beat us over the head all the time with the education stick. It's all about education. Well, you have a responsibility to educate not only those participants that are involved, whether they're paid staff or whether they're, quote unquote, amateur players, but you also have a responsibility to educate the public here so that people can make reasonable judgments and informed judgments. And that is not happening. That is very clear that is not happening. And when the Big Ten made their decision, the Pac-12 made its decision, what did we hear from Indianapolis? You heard crickets, and you haven't heard anything aside from individuals that may be talking in different forums. You haven't heard anything publicly from the NCAA's expert medical panel. And I think that's a profound failure in leadership. And that stops at the desk of the NCAA president of the Board of Governors. And it also extends to each of the conference offices. Look, you can tell just by the public statements that they're not cooperating properly when the Pac-12 and Big Ten makes their decisions, and then Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference, says, well, we're looking forward to finding out what the basis of those decisions. Like, they haven't told you what the basis of it is? You guys haven't been sharing this information? And the truth is, they haven't been. And that's simply wrong.
That is wrong. Jay Billis is joining us from ESPN. Jay, you just said something about two different things: college kids playing sports, college kids back on campus. I think it's interesting because a lot of the coaches have said they're going to be kids would be more susceptible to, health issues, catching something just being on campus than they would where we have the medical people watching them and testing and everything else. What do you think the difference is? Because I have two kids who are going to be on a college campus this fall. I'm concerned about it. And I'm wondering, if they are there, why do you think it might not work for kids to play college sports if they're allowed back on campus, even if they're just doing online stuff? They're living in dorms. They're going to cafeterias. Where do you see the differences there?
Well, there are profound differences. It's certainly a fair question to ask that if students are on campus and why can't we play sports? I mean, but having students on campus that are under protocols as to how they behave with social distancing, wearing masks and the like is a different analysis than putting teams where they are intentionally, violating social distancing and masks and all that in order to play a sport and traveling them around the country to do so, coming in contact with others that they don't know what protocols, they may be similar, but they may not be identical. So you've got those kind of issues. Those are different things. And look, we can have, like, I'm not saying the coaches are wrong. I don't have any problem with institutions having bubbles for their athletes. That's fine. You know, they have online education. What difference does it make whether it's online education in a dorm room or online education at a hotel where the only time they're let out of the pen is when they do athletic activities, which is going on in different institutions around the country. I mean, a lot of there are football and basketball teams being housed in luxury hotels right now, basically in isolation. But the difference is in the NBA bubble, the coaches, staff, officials, everybody in contact with the players is in that same bubble. The only ones that are isolated right now are the players, and the staff are going home at night interacting with others that are outside of that isolation. And so really the threat there isn't the players. The threat is people interacting with the players. So look, I'm not saying it can't be done. I think it can be done, and that's fine. I think one of the mistakes that I see some people making is, like, I don't think this is the time to somehow say, all right, they're in a bubble, therefore they're professionals. No, they're professionals anyway, in my view. But you know, playing that kind of gotcha game right now in a pandemic, I don't think is productive. They may be valid points. I'm not suggesting they're not. But I don't think this is necessarily the time for that. But, you know, look, we can have arguments over, look, they're not isolating students that are in the performing arts to make sure that they can have the school play safely. That we're doing this for football and basketball. And there's an argument to be made that that's okay because those are revenue generating things, or, you know, the economy, you name it. But those are all reasonable judgments to make. But the biggest problem we have is the lack of coordination in sharing important and I would say vital information for decisions to be made by the participants and by the public. And I think that is owed not only to the participants, but I think it's owed to the public. And until we do that, we are operating in an information vacuum. And it is, I think, profoundly wrong. And I keep saying failure in leadership. I don't mean to sound like a broken record, but it is a leadership failure. And this goes beyond some argument as to whether we should be paying athletes, all that stuff. That's secondary to all this. This is important, and we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. And I love college sports. I want to see it go forward, but I want it done right. And I felt like it was sort of there was a disconnect in the last few days with, you know, the Pac-12, Big Ten, Big East, you name it, they're all canceling fall sports. And then we have the chairman of the basketball committee, the tournament committee, Mitch Barnhart, is the AD at Kentucky, and Danny Gavitt, who's in charge of the tournament, basically saying, well, we're moving forward with basketball. We have to have a tournament, and we're going to do what it takes to have a tournament. I mean, that struck me as, you know, to do it, to say that today, like, what makes us think that if we can't play football in every other fall sport, that a sport that starts in November, yep, we're moving forward with that. And saying that now struck me as a little bit tone deaf, frankly.
Jay, let me ask you this question. How does this push the envelope on club sports? Like, let's just say you're 19 years old, and I think it's at the end of the month is when AAU switches, right? I think that's the deadline at the end of August. So let's just say you're playing 20 and under, and you're thinking, oh man, my college isn't playing basketball this year. I mean, does it propel club sports? Because, you know, I'm watching baseball and softball and playing, those are outdoor sports, but I'm wondering if this is going to push even just college athletics to the limits in the big picture when we're all past this. But even if you're a 19-year-old kid now who's in college and saying, hey, if they're going to shut us down, I need to find a place to play this year.
When you say club sports, are you talking about sports that aren't varsity Division I?
Yeah, well, I'm saying, and when I say club sports, I mean non-NCAA, non-NAI, not college, AAU, basically is what I'm saying, outside of the academic world.
Yeah, that's an individual judgment based upon location and all those other things. I mean, you know, look, people can quarrel with the words here. I don't consider a 19-year-old a kid. I consider that an adult. And legally, they're adults. So they can make their own decisions as to whether they want to play AAU basketball or go to the Y and play if it's open. I mean, you have to abide by, be responsible, abide by CDC and local guidelines and government mandates. But that's separate from a multi-billion-dollar business making decisions and going forward. When you're making decisions that we can't safely play fall sports, but we're pushing ahead with football. There are some very important questions that come with that. And I know that these the conferences that are moving forward are also moving forward in other sports as well. But we could come to a place where somebody decides, look, we can't play these other things, but we're going to keep playing football because they can put their resources toward that. Then we can get into a discussion about this being pro sports and all that stuff. But first and foremost, it's the question about what's the responsible thing to do from a health and safety standpoint, not only for the participants, but for the public at large. And so I think I'm rooting for the SEC and ACC and Big 12 to pull this off. If they do, if they're able to go forward and do this and get all the way to a college football playoff and have a great experience, terrific. That doesn't mean the Pac-12 nor the Big 10 was wrong in their decision. Just because others can pull it off. Because, if you read that 12-page Pac-12 document that they finally put out when they made their decision, it's pretty clear from that document that the geographic footprint they're in and the problems they're having with spread and the problems they're having with testing were the driving force there. So that could absolutely mean that in other areas of the country that medical professionals think, okay, it's okay here. It's fine. But that's okay. And there can be reasonable disagreement among medical professionals, but we all need to know what that reasoning is and see the data behind those judgments in order to make an informed decision.
Jay, we always appreciate your time and your expertise. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Jay.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Jay Billis from ESPN. You're looking for knowledge when it comes to college athletics. There's your guy right there.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.